Welcome to episode 433 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. There are different levels of belief and different objects of belief, and not all that's called belief is actually saving faith. James 2 verse 19 says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." The King James Version puts it this way: "The devils also believe and tremble." You can believe and have life. You can believe and triumph. You can believe and tremble. There is eternity in the difference. Let's put this another way. If one simply believes that there is a God in heaven, and that's the extent of that faith, then that person has exactly the same faith as the demons of hell. That's not saving faith, even though it involves a measure of belief. So one can believe and yet not be saved. Simon the sorcerer in Samaria is said to have believed and was baptized at the preaching of Philip. But later, when Simon offers the apostles money to have their ability to impart the Holy Spirit, he is rebuked sternly by Peter. "May your money perish with you. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." Was Simon saved based on his belief? There are a variety of possibilities. Perhaps Simon lost his salvation. Perhaps Simon's initial belief was not genuine. He was never saved to begin with. Perhaps Simon was truly saved, but having a deficient understanding of the Holy Spirit, he made a horrible suggestion. After Simon was rebuked, he seems to have come to some measure of repentance, but we are not told how the story ends. It is quite possible for a person to have an initial positive response to the gospel without being saved. A person may feel his or her heart stirred at the stories about Jesus. Another may even identify with Christ through baptism and church membership and get involved in ministry, all the while not being born again. We can illustrate the disconnect between some kinds of belief and saving faith this way. Many Americans are overweight, and at the same time, there are thousands of weight loss products available. People will see an infomercial about the latest home exercise equipment, and they say, "That's just what I need," and they buy the equipment. They receive their purchase and eagerly use it for a couple of weeks. 6 months later, it's back in the box packed away somewhere. What happened? They believed in a product, but it wasn't the type of belief that led to a committed use of that product. Nothing really changed in their lives. They had an initial positive response, but rather than possessing genuine faith, so to speak, they were merely indulging perhaps a passing fancy. People do this with Christ as well. In Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Notice here that the people Jesus condemns were actively involved in ministry, but they were not genuine believers. They had faith of a sort. They acknowledged who Jesus is, but they had no relationship with him. The book of Hebrews and the warnings contained therein can be also understood this way. The recipients of the epistle were Jews who had come out of the synagogue and joined themselves to the Christian community. They believed a lot of things about Jesus, but at least some of them were not saved. Their mental acknowledgement of Jesus had not resulted in commitment to him. When the persecution of the church began, the fence sitters were tempted to abandon Christ and go back to the old Jewish sacrificial system. The writer of Hebrews compares them to the generation that came out of Egypt but refused to enter the promised land. Although they started on the trip with Moses, an initial positive response, they refused to enter because of unbelief. Hebrews chapters 6 and 10 issue warnings against so-called belief without salvation. In John 6, after Jesus feeds the 5,000, many people turn away from Jesus and no longer follow him. Jesus then asks the 12 if they will abandon him as well. Peter answers that they could never leave their Lord. Then Jesus says, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." The devil here is Judas Iscariot, who would later betray Jesus. What's interesting is that we see Peter and Judas side by side. Both expressed faith in Christ. Both believed. They both knew Jesus personally. They saw the miracles, and they had committed years of their lives to him. Peter would later deny Christ, but after the denial, Peter repented and became a pillar of the church. Judas, on the other hand, betrayed Jesus and never repented, although he realized that he had made a mistake and was sorry. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12 warns us, "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Peter denied Christ, but only for a short span of time in his life of faith. Judas affirmed Christ, but only for a short span of time in his life. Peter denied and then repented, and he remained faithful until his death. Judas betrayed and remained in an unforgiven state when he took his own life. Matthew 24 verse 13 tells us, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Some people seem to be on fire for God for a short time, only to later repudiate what they believed and abandon themselves to a blatant violation of biblical principles. A saving belief is one that involves commitment, change, and endurance. God knows our hearts. We, however, cannot see the hearts of other people and may often be deceived about our own hearts as well. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." If we want confidence about our spiritual situation, we need to do more than look back to some words we said in the past when we accepted Christ. We need to also examine our current condition to see if there is evidence of God's work in our lives today, changing us from within, convicting us of sin, and drawing us to repentance. There is a series of tests in 1 John that we can use to examine ourselves and our faith. As we look at them, remember that no one will perfectly fulfill all of them all the time, but they should reveal a consistent trend that characterizes our lives as we grow in grace. 1. Do you enjoy having fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? 2. Would people say you walk in the light or walk in the darkness? 3. Do you admit and confess your sin? 4. Are you obedient to God's word? 5. Does your life indicate you love God rather than the world? 6. Is your life characterized by doing what is right? 7. Do you seek to maintain a pure life? 8. Do you see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life? This refers to not continuing in sin as a way of life, not a total absence of sin. 9. Do you demonstrate love for other Christians? 10. Do you walk the walk versus just talking the talk? 11. Do you maintain a clear conscience? 12. Do you experience a victory in your Christian walk? Remember also that believers have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So says Romans 8, verse 16. So we can believe like the devil and his angels and be forever lost, or we can believe with all our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to change us. That is a belief that will not cause us to tremble, but rather it will cause us to triumph. Father, we believe in you. We want that belief, however, not to just be a mere affirmation of who you are, but we want that to be one that transforms us, that changes us, that convicts us. And we want that to be a belief that helps us to endure as faithful followers of Christ to the end. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.